Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Mark chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to turn there. If you are getting used to the words on the screen, I can appreciate that. That's why I put them up there. But I do want to ask, if you can, bring you a device, bring a Bible, bring something that you can follow along. Because sometimes I'll go through something, then I'll refer back to it, and it's just impossible to follow everything I'm saying and get it back up on the screen. But if you have your Bible, you can turn right there and see exactly what I'm talking about. So over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you, bring your Bible so we can plug in to what's going on. If you didn't bring it today because you've got used to the screen, I understand that. But I just want to encourage you, it helps if you have something to follow along with. Mark chapter 4, I've been praying about this all year because I wanted to do a series, and today's the first part of that, on seed time and harvest. Now here's why. Here's why this has been laid on my heart. And we've talked about it at different times throughout the year. I mean, we did the whole series on the parables. We're right now in the Sermon on the Mount. There's so much that God has to say about this in Scripture. But here's the thing. At the beginning of this year, when God gave us the vision of being kingdom-minded, seek first the kingdom of God. How do you live in the kingdom of God? When we started talking about that, I knew this year, one of the only ways you can be taught about the kingdom and how we live in the kingdom while we're still here in the world is to understand the principles of seed time and harvest. So I get a call this week that Susan's coming, and the greatest teacher on seed time and harvest that I've ever heard is Tom Underhill, which is Susan Allen's daddy. And the second best teacher on this subject is Susan Allen, his daughter. So anyway, she goes, just feed me. And I'm like, just correct me. If I say anything wrong, I'm trying not to look at her unless she's just nodding and smiling. But here's the thing. As I was studying this, I was like, okay, she needs to hear her own words and her daddy's own words, which are really God's own words. And the word of God, as it goes forward, it produces. And if it's going to produce from the seed of the word is seed, if it's going to produce, then it's going to multiply. And so what we've got to always know before we even start this, this is for you an ability for the things of God to multiply in your life. And if you haven't started the multiplication process, then Mark 4 will give you a direct definition of how to get that started. Mark 4 talks about the sower. Sowing the word. Everything God does, He does through the law of seed time and harvest. And the more that time has passed for me, I mean, I'm in my 50s now, I have seen how huge this is in the kingdom of God and for God's people. I mean, it's giant. It's really big when you're studying the word that you understand seed time and harvest. If you think about it, you plant a seed, and what does that seed do? It grows, it grows, it grows, it grows some more. And if you don't pick it, you get a cucumber that's like this big. And it's, but here's the thing. I've watched this in gardens for years. It'll grow, even unattended, it's going to grow. Because God's responsible for the growth. And I've seen as you get this and you understand it, that seed grows. But here's what's happening while it's growing. It's multiplying inside of itself. And it's producing way more seed than the one seed you started with. And you've heard this. You can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in an apple seed. Please just know that thought as we're going into this. Because you plant seeds and they multiply. The harvest continues to get bigger and bigger each time you plant. In fact, I was just thinking about this, and I can't write it down. But if you plant a seed, and let's just use the apple because we've already said that. And it grows into this tree. And let's just pretend this one tree only produced one apple. Now, I've never seen that, but let's just say for speaking sake that that's what happened. So you take that one apple down after it's ripe and ready to roll, and you break it apart, and you count all the seeds inside of that one apple. Just that is way more seed than what was the original seed you started with. Now, if you take that apple and you plant all of the seeds that were inside of it, and you have a bunch of different trees from that one apple, and it grows up, and each one of them just produce one apple. You know how hypothetically ignorant this statement is. There's going to be a whole lot more seed, but I've never seen a tree just produce one apple. And so I just want you to know that the Bible has something to say about this, and I wanted to get this thought process in your head before we start reading. Mark chapter 4, I want to read 1 through 20. So either follow along or read it on the screen, that's fine. But I want you to hear what Jesus had to say about this. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. He sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. Now during this time, I'm going to stop right there. I only got through verse 1, I'm sorry, but you just got... I'm going to read it all, I promise, but I just, does your mind ever read scripture and it's like, wow, I never saw that before? Well, I like sitting in a boat with my bow and arrows and a bunch of fish all around. I just thought, he sat in a boat while all the people remained on shore. I don't know how long he sat on the boat while people were gathering and starting to come in, but what did he do while he was sitting in the boat? He did what I did. He looked for fish. Mike, come on. Rusty, he sat in a boat and he thought, you know what? I could be doing something else right now. But nope. What his heart was to teach people regardless of where he was. And he got in a boat with the intent of people. And I just was I read that and I kept thinking, does every time I get in a boat, I'm thinking about people? Or, I mean, I can enjoy looking at the fish, but are you thinking about people? Are you thinking about what you can multiply that's in you? Sometimes I'm thinking about how I could shoot more fish. Sometimes I'm thinking about where I could go, what I could do. But if I'm really in tune with the Lord, which Jesus was at all times, he's always using whatever circumstance, even fishing, even a boat, wherever he is in, to die to himself, if you will, and what might be the fleshly desire and say, I want to do it God's way. So let's go on here. He sat in a boat and all the people remained on shore. I got so much more that God was downloading me there, but I'll never get through anything if I don't go on. Chapter 4, verse 2. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, this is Jesus talking. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted, under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with others who gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, you're permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. The people who are wanting to hear this were permitted to hear the secrets of the kingdom of God. Know this, is not hidden from us either. We're permitted to hear the secrets of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they won't understand. Otherwise, they'll turn to me and be forgiven. Jesus said to him, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how are you going to understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed, and he goes on to explain it, by taking God's words to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Well, Jesus explained exactly what he just said. And he made it as a revelation to these people. I'm revealing to you what's going on. My prayer as I spent time with the Lord this morning is there'll be something in this story that make you go, wow, wow, wow. That was just revealed to me, and I hadn't really thought about it that way, but wow. Now, how is that going to happen? It's if you'll tune yourself in to receive what's being said by the Word of God. So I want to see right here what God's been covering in Mark 4, verse 14, when Jesus is explaining it. What happens to the seed in each scenario? Now, the seed, you have to understand, church, the seed is the gospel. The seed is the gospel. It's the word of God. It's God's word to us. Verse 15, the seed fell on the footpath, which represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come and take it away. Now, this, as I think about this, I think, how many times has God used someone to say something to me and I wasn't really tuned in? That just happens. The older I get, the more it happens, and it's not intentional. I didn't hear it. But this is, says the ones who actually heard it. You heard it. You just didn't. You didn't let it get in. You heard it, but you're just real quick saying, what did you just say? Now, this can be real confusing, but Matthew 13, verse 19, it's the same parable in another gospel, and I want to read what Jesus said there in what they heard him say. It said, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Have you ever heard something that someone says, you're like, okay, I got it, and then they say a little more, and you're like, I didn't get it. They just keep talking like, okay, I thought I knew what you said. In fact, there are people who want to finish your sentences for you. They have the greatest of heart. What they're trying to do is say, I got it, and then they finish it, and you're like, no, that's not what I was trying to say at all. And you resist the urge to go, let me finish. That would be me to my wife. And I'm just saying that on her behalf. She's like, later she will go, did you hear what you said? You need to practice it right now. Anyway, but we're talking about God's seed hitting the footpath, and it represents the word being seed, and it is taken when we don't understand it. That says to me, if we understand it, it can't be taken from us. Let's just go to the opposite route here. If you don't understand it, you're not going to get it. Therefore, say, tell me what you just said again. Or read it again. Receive it again. Because if you'll understand it, it won't be taken from you. If the word gets in you, it can't steal what it could be doing in you. But a lot of people are not getting the fruit of the seed, the fruit of the word, because they don't understand it. And it says the evil one comes and snatches away the seed. You know, you can start living by it and enjoy what it produces. Or you can say, oh, that's not for me. I hope someone else heard that. For people who kind of live in offense or frustrated or mad or all the things that are actually against the word, what I'm telling you, they haven't understood what the word could do to those things. So today, understand. Well, how do I understand? Read it, read it, read it. Understand it, let it sink in. Let's keep reading verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. I've seen these people. They're the three-monthers. That's about what time I see it takes. They're so excited for about 3 months. I've seen some almost make it to four. I'm talking about pumped up. God just did something awesome. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. You know why there's no root in a three-monther person? Because there's only 3 months. Seed in 3 months doesn't do what it can do in 6 months, in a year in the life of a believer. And roots take time to get deep. They take time. And so what we're missing here in this passage is the time for root to grow in you. Why no root? Because there's no time given to the word. I get it. You were thrilled about John 3:16, and then you quit even reading that. And I'm not putting down John 3:16, but it's a lot of people's introduction to the gospel, Romans 10, 9, and 10. There are some things that we get. Well, I'm saved. I know. You were saved when you're 8, but you didn't spend any time getting rooted in what you were saved. What you did, you continued to spend time in what you were supposed to be saved from. And that didn't grow the roots that were necessary for you to have what God wants for you. Verse 17, things come, problems, persecution, things you don't understand, and you start dwelling on what you don't understand, and you spend no time in what God is wanting to give you understanding of. And see, his approach is that you spend time in what you know works, but when you spend the wrong time on the wrong things, persecution, frustration, offense, I don't know what all's happening, money problems, blah, 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 and your mind's all on a problem, wham, the seed that you got last Sunday just left. The seed that you had available for you is just gone. Why? Because the problems crowded out, stopped your time in the word, and it's gone. Verse 18, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth. It goes right along with 17. Persecution, problems, lure of wealth, desiring for other things. No fruit is produced. Affliction, persecution continues on in this verse. Not just worries and problems, but sometimes it's the excitement for things that are not of God. It's an excitement for Friday night over Sunday morning or over Monday morning in his word. It's an excitement for something other than the excitement you should have for the seed. Job's taking too much time. Well, if too much time's given to a job and not enough time in the word, what happens to the word? The parable just explains it. If you don't get this, you're not going to get anything else I have to say. Yeah. That's what Jesus tells us. No seed, you're not going to get any fruit. No seed, no fruit. No fruit of the kingdom ever is produced without the word. No fruit of the kingdom. And if you're only getting seed in your pocket, you're only getting seed to take home with you on Sunday, you're not getting it in you. Now, verse 20 is the victory part of this parable. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times as much as have been planted. What comes 30, 60, and 100 fold? You might say, well, I don't get that. Well, let me just give you something that several years ago, when I got this, it's like, wow, here's what you get 30, 60, and 100 fold. It is the knowledge of the word that you get 30, 60, and 100 fold. Whoa. See, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I quote this all the time, God has given you all things that are needed. All things have been given. He didn't hold some out. All things that are needed, all things that you have to have for living the godly life has been given, and you receive it by coming to know Him. What is know Him? It's knowledge of Him. So you come to know Him who called us to Himself by His marvelous glory, His excellence, who He is. He did something you can't do on your own, and so we all got saved. And if you haven't got saved, run up here at the end of service. You can do it right in the middle of service. Tell me before you take off running because somebody might tackle you. But I just want, you got to get saved. There's an entrance into the kingdom to then get all that's available for you. Now, it's important to know this because if God has given us all things that pertain to life, what kind of life do you have? Well, I'm breathing right now. No, that word life is the Zoe life. That means the God kind of life. So all things that are needed to live the God kind of life have been given. Let me say it like this. There's no more seed that can be given that hasn't already been given. But there is more seed that can be produced. It's all been given, and it's sown by us. And see, although it's been given, it doesn't mean, even though it's been given, that everybody's received it all. Well, this can get real confusing unless you just make it real easy, and I want to try to make it easy. You haven't been held back on. God's not holding something back from you. And, you know, we start thinking that. Well, I've tried and I've not done everything. God's not holding back on you. You just haven't figured out how to really receive the seed. Wait. That's a put down. No. If we're not training for righteousness, if we're not training to be in, now you can't make yourself any more right with God because He did that for you. But if you're not training that old mind and that body to go to the next level in the things of the kingdom, you're missing what the spirit man is enjoying. Now, I gotta move through this, and I'm not going fast, and if I don't get anything done today, I'll be back next week. But just because it's been given doesn't mean that you have received it all. You need to know, and I'm just going to give you three things that you need to know. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I just want to tell you there's three things you need to know if you're going to get this message in this series. And I'll probably revisit these. But the first thing you need to know is what the seed will do for you. What will the seed do for you? Past the initial seed that produced salvation, because I'm saved. I mean, we used to sing that in the old church. I'm saved, saved. I love the idea that we're saved. But just like Chapman was saying today, and so many have said, and Brooke was talking about the seed, had no idea I was talking about seed today. Isn't that funny just how God does things? How do you live knowing this? You know that there is seed available for every area to produce in your life. But we only take the seed that was made for salvation and we don't understand how there's so much more past that. That's why you're still breathing, to get you the God kind of life. So you need to learn first, there is seed and what it's going to do for you. You know what the seed of salvation did. It gave you entrance into the kingdom and it made everything else available to you. See, everything else to live the God kind of life has been given. But until you get saved, you won't understand all the other seed. Otherwise, Romans 10:9 and John 3:16, all the Romans wrote of salvation, go through all of that, Romans 3:23, 6. I mean, you just keep going and going and you're like, okay, I know all those verses. Most people do that are saved. But that's not all that's in the seed. That's not all that's in the Word of God. So we've got to know more. So you got to know what the seed will do for you. Past the initial seed of salvation. Number two, you got to know that there is fruit that comes by you being good soil. In every area, you need fruit. Well, I got it here, but I don't have it in my finances. I got it here, but I don't have it in my parenting. I got it here, but I don't have it in my work environment. I got it here, but I don't have it at my school. I got it here, but my marriage is just falling apart. And I got it here, but I'm just fighting depression every day. Well, I'm just telling you, you need some seed in that area because God wants you to have fruit in that area. So you got to know that there's fruit available for every area. Therefore, if there's fruit available for every area, you need the seed that will produce that. Number three, you must see some fruit from the word in your life so others can benefit. If you don't have fruit in the area of marriage, quit talking to people about marriage. We need to get good seed, and seed comes from good fruit. We need good seed in the area of marriage. If you're broke and just filed bankruptcy last week, zip it about what you're telling somebody how to spend their money. See, there's seed that's available, but you don't have the fruit, so you don't have the seed to give them. See, this third point I want you to get because it's important that you understand that in the kingdom of God, he would take all of us out when we got saved if we didn't expect us to have the fruit that would be seed for others. That's why I like hanging out with Susan and Rusty. They got a lot of fruit. And there are times when she has something going on, she'll call me. Times that I have something going on, I'll call her. I need to know what you think about this because I've seen what you guys do and we need some of that. We need some of that fruit, so give me some of your seed. See, that if you don't have fruit, keep your mouth shut. Did you get that? And get you some seed and start cultivating and managing it. Boy, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm just saying. These three are what we're going to be talking about. See, seed comes, and it tells how he has given it to you. Verse 20, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest. He has given it to you through the ability to receive knowledge. You accepted it, you received it into your life, and you received the knowledge of the word. True, exact revelation knowledge of Jesus. You receive that, knowing him, knowing it, accepting what he made available. Now, if it is received, now you got to see this in verse 20. The seed fell on good soil, so you're the good soil in this area, represents those who hear it, accept it, and produce with it. Well, I hear it and accepting it. Here, let me use a Dr. Phil line. How's it working for you? See, you got the seed. It's not been held from you. It's been given to you. Is your soil such that it's producing a harvest for you? Because the Bible says in verse 20, if you're the soil that's hearing it and accepting it, then it's going to produce. So you can know when you see the harvest in your own life, then you have some seed that's worth talking about. The reason why Brooke was up here this morning sharing a word of testimony is because I've seen her faithfulness. Not just me, but others. Her faithfulness. She's got some good fruit. You know, the sad part for Christians is oftentimes we run into people who knew us when we didn't have any fruit. But how great it is when they just spend a little time and they start seeing the fruit and then they're open to receive some of the seed from your fruit. Just the word of God. You can see the harvest of the seed in yourself. You can know that you've done a good job. You've been doing well with what has been given to you. See, the soil is you. Let me use this. The soil is your heart. Seed has got to be given good soil. It has to be ready to receive. You sow the word, and it keeps expanding. But the way it gets expanded is to make sure we understand that first parable and we're good soil. That's the introduction to this whole parable, because I think, or to this whole series that I want to do, because you got to understand, when I started this out, I talked about a multiplication process with an apple. Now, multiplying is a cool thing to me. And multi-level marketing has this thing kind of figured out. You know, they understand. Go write down 100 names, talk to all of them, and see if you can set up a meeting with them. And you set up this meeting, and then if you do this, you're going to get this, and then they're going to get this, and they get all these free prizes if they'll have a party. And come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody here. We go to 3 or 4 parties a year. My wife does. I try to get out of them. But multi-level marketing, all they understand is a multiplication process. The more people that they can talk to and share with their wonderful product, every product's wonderful, they're going to get you hooked. Come on, and you're in. I wish the Word of God worked a little easier like that. Here, they just get you hooked. The fact is it does if you'll be good soil. Out of those 100 people that I would write down forever multi-level marketing company that I joined as a kid or a younger adult, some of y'all are going to say, I'm putting down multi-level. I'm not. If you're a millionaire at it, praise God. And there are a few that are. But what I'm saying is, every one of them I was excited about, I thought, if I could just get that excited about the kingdom of God, and the things that I know would produce in my life, where would I be? And see, that soil they're looking for, as I'd write that list of 100 people, I'd go, they're not good soil, they're not good soil, they're not good soil. And I wouldn't say soil, but I think they're not worth talking to, they're not worth talking to, because they're going to say no. Here's what you all are thinking. If you're making your list right now, you're going to say, pastor's not good soil. Because you know I don't like multi-level. Really? No, I don't want to join that. I'm pastoring a church. Now, I'm not here to put it down, but you kind of start going, this person might be interested because they spend money. They enjoy oils. They like makeup. Okay, now I'm getting real too personal. But they understand the multiplication process. Well, let me tell you, they didn't invent it. God did. And God understands the multiplication process, and what he wanted to do is he wanted you to get that in and of yourself so that then he could expand it in you to where it got so big that your fruit couldn't be contained in the seed. Every time you talk, it's like, wow, wow, wow. What I'm telling you is I never get around certain people that I don't know what they have fruit in. Hopefully, you're hanging out with some people who have a great marriage. Why? Because you need some of what produced in their life. The more of the word you get in you, it just multiplies. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. This verse used to so confuse me. That doesn't make sense to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. What in the world does that mean? Faith comes by hearing, so I've got to hear the word. Well, that's just a glimpse of that. Faith comes by hearing, so I need faith, so I got to hear the word of God. But how do you hear the word of God? By hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't hear without the word of God. So the only way you can hear is the word of God. Because God multiplies knowledge, that means he's the giver of the hearing. You couldn't hear if God hadn't created you. You couldn't hear if God hadn't given you an ear. Or an inner ear. You couldn't hear if it wasn't for God. So hearing only comes by the word of God. Right. Hearing has to take place for you to operate in faith. So you got to be a hearer. The ability to hear the word comes from hearing the word. Now, if you're new, some of you are going to look at me like a mule looking at a new gate, like you're no big deal. And I get that. But when you hear this over and over again and you read Romans 10:17, you just camp out there for a few weeks, you'll start going, man, I'm starting to get more and more. Wow, wow. And you start reading the word more and more and you start, wow. And before long, you're like, I have a hearing that I didn't know I had. Hearing. I didn't understand hardly anything about this parable the first time I read it. And I heard it, and then I'd hear teaching on it, and I'd hear more teaching on it. I remember listening to Tom Underhill teach on this, and I would listen to it, and then I would push rewind, for those of you that know what that means. And I'd wait a few minutes, and we just started over. Why? Because I just wanted, man, that was good. I needed to get that in me. I needed to hear what was being said there. And it was about understanding that I could be a hearer. And you can't ever be a doer until you're a hearer. Now, we don't want to leave ourselves there, and I'll get more and more into that. But the more I hear it, the more it makes sense. And I keep reading and I keep studying. And I used to study the Bible out of duty. You know, as a Christian, sometimes you go, I need to read the Word. And I don't want to condemn you today, and I don't want you to leave feeling condemned. But I want you to know, if you're not studying the Word, you're not hearing the Word. Well, I try to study it. What do you mean study? I mean read it and hear what it says. Don't let it be taken from you. I used to study the Bible out of just duty. And I would read what I felt I had to read. Well, I don't want to miss this week because then I'll get behind on what I'm supposed to be reading. And you're reading it just out of duty. But when you get to the point of reading it out of privilege, out of an excitement. And I used to just take it and I'd just read it and I'd be like, okay, that was cool. But then I'd walk away and I'm telling you, I have experienced the enemy coming just stealing it. I don't even remember what I read. Now, if you're going to start that way, it's better than nothing. But it'll make you a three-monther. Part of this message today of seed time and harvest about the seed that produces, and it can't produce without good soil. Now let me just stand a moment here. The seed that we're talking about being produced, what you got to know about seed, it always produces like kind. It always produces like kind. It produces, you no one ever plants a watermelon seed and goes, praise God, we got some corn. No one does that. Every farmer understands that you plant the seed based on knowing what you're going to be producing. And so if you know that part of your production this parable talks about is you getting knowledge, then get the knowledge so that then you can get the watermelon. I want to spend so much time here because this is so good. But you just got to know that seed can be left in a bag for thousands of years and then planted and produced. Don't get seed on your coffee table, the Holy Bible on your coffee table, on your nightstand. Don't get seed there and never plant it. Come on, we got to get to a place where we're good soil and we plant this seed, and when we plant it, we have an expectation of understanding it. Understanding it. I got to end with this story that Rusty shared with me, and I didn't ask him if I could do it, but I'm confident he'll be okay. He said something this weekend, just one line, and it was the whole point that I wanted to end with today. He said, you know what I figured out? I figured out how to grow an oak tree. Now, you know why he figured it out? Because he knows that deer like acorns. And he has planted oak trees all over the place. And he didn't have some real good success from what I understand at the beginning. They kept dying on him. I don't know his secret. We have natural oak trees here. I don't need to. Or maybe I could plant a few and have some right in front of my house like he's got right in front of his, that he can't shoot because his wife won't let him. But he just, what he said made me go, oh, you know what? There's something about this that I think we miss when we're talking about seed time and harvest. And I'm just going to get to the second part of this as I'm kind of giving an overview of what we'll get some nitty gritty over the next few weeks. But what he said, I have figured out. You know what he said? I got some knowledge. I got some knowledge of what to do, not just with the seed, but during the time that it takes to get the harvest. And he's worked at it, and he's put some time in, and now he's got some trees that are getting some roots. And the only reason those trees are getting some roots is because somebody got some knowledge. And what I want you to know is, if you don't put yourself in a position to receive not just the seed, because the seed's been given, but be a person who is good soil and let the farmer, which is God's people, get that seed. Get that seed scattered. Get it in you. Get it in the right place. Know how much water. Know how much tending. Know what you need to do, what shade it needs, what shade it doesn't need. When a drought comes, what do you do to produce those little acorns that's going to produce the deer that will put meat on your table or a trophy on your wall? It's all about seed time and harvest. See, nothing works outside. It all works in this realm. What are you doing right now that's...
Yep, good.
If I knew this when I was dating, I'd have dated different. If I knew this when we first got married, I wouldn't have to be trying to figure out some things right now that I'm still trying to figure out to be married and happy. I'm working on this all the time. And what I've come to find out is everybody that wants to live in the kingdom has to work on it all the time. Because as you keep working, more knowledge will come into you. More knowledge. You're like, okay, I know what to do here. Oh, I don't know what to do here. Okay, well, I need some seed here. I need to tend this. I need to work on it. So fruit will come. And before long, you start going, this life is good. How is it good? Because it's a God kind of life. How do you get a God kind of life? The Zoe life. You know what to do with seed. Now, there's so much that I have written down, and I've got, I don't know, as long as I got. If the Lord tarries, I'm going to be talking about this for a while. Why? Because it will take your life to the next level. And know this, when your life goes to the next level and fruit starts coming out, you bring it into church and you share it with everybody. And then in church, the giftings and the fruit start showing up. And you know what? That seed just kind of scatters. You can't be around Chapman and not know that the joy of the Lord is all over him. How in the world is that the case? Because he's got fruit everywhere. I mean, just there are things about the kingdom. Be around Keith Henson and say, hey, I just heard that you did this. Yeah, I'll be over to help you with that. And Keith will be right there, one of the greatest servants I've ever met. How is that? How do I know that? Because I've seen his fruit. And the more I hang out with him, the more that seed kind of gets into me. And I'm like, when I gotta do this. And that seed starts multiplying. Here's what I'm telling you. Get it in your own life so that you can let that multiply in you. And as it multiplies in you, that fruit starts getting more than you can handle. And you can't shut up about how to have a great marriage. You can't be quiet about what's going on in the kingdom of God in your life. Let me just tell you what's going on here. Signs and wonders will follow those that get this concept. Seed, time, and harvest. I'm just telling you, it's going to be one of the greatest things you ever heard if you'll be good soil. I'll try to be entertaining and not put you to sleep. But really, it's not so much the entertainment, it's the good soil that wants to receive the word and it make a difference in their life. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.